Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. We are live out at MTSU football practice. Blue Raiders on the field as we speak. If you missed our conversation with Derek Mason or Chris Massaro earlier, go check it out wherever you get your podcast, Robbie and Rex Road. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in our friend Nick Suss, who covers the Titans for the Tennessean. Nick, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good, y'all. How's Murfreesboro treating you?
Murfreesboro is great. Lovely. It's not too hot yet, so we're doing very well. Now, we do have some hot takes. Rex Road is over here talking about how Mason McKenzie might be the best receiver on the team and is really just dominating Titans training camp. What have you seen from Kenzie and Phillips and that kind of crew that's kind of on the periphery as to whether or not they're going to make the roster in that wide receiver room?
I will tell you guys that when we were out at Nissan two Saturdays ago, I turned to some other reporters and said, Kenzie's making this team. You know that, right? Like, he does look like a guy who fits as a slot. I might have tempered back on that over the last week or two as I've seen some of the other slot guys play a little bit more. But look, when we look at the pecking order and who's getting the first team reps and who's getting targeted from the top quarterbacks and all that stuff, Mason Kenzie does seem to be the next guy in the pecking order after Tyler Boyd among those slots. So, I mean, Kyle Phillips could overtake it, and we obviously know that who plays punt returner and kick returner is going to swing the conversation a bunch, but I have been impressed, more or less, that this dude just keeps going out there, getting open and making catches.
Like, he's better, and that's the thing. Like, people think about Mason Kenzie, and it's like, oh, yeah. It's kind of like Malik Willis to me, Nick, which is, we were talking about earlier. I mean, you can get better. You're allowed to improve, and also it is a different offense, different staff, so sometimes that helps guys too. Like, those two guys are more able to play in NFL games now than they were a year ago, in my opinion.
Oh, I agree, and I look at Jaquan Jackson and Kyaris Jackson and Kyle Phillips. They all kind of fill the same role. The Titans don't really have too many fringe roster receivers who do something different than those guys. So if you have four replicas of essentially the same format of player, theory stands you should just pick the one who's best at doing that. Now, Jaquan Jackson being young and being the draft pick obviously skews things, but if DeAndre can't go the first 2 weeks and you're carrying seven receivers, I don't see why you don't carry Kenzie as one of them.
So how do you think the return game is going to factor into this thing with both punt return, but obviously the kickoff rule that's changing this year that we're all very fascinated to see starting on Saturday in the preseason game? How do you think that factors into the wide receiver discussion?
I think that it might be a little bit different than years past, where the idea of, well, just have a guy who can only do special teams might not be as prominent as before. I still think that playing receiver will be a little bit more valuable than who can return the punts, especially if the kickoff jobs go to people like Treylon Burks and Tajay Spears and people who are going to make the roster anyway. But, yeah, I mean, we can go off the depth chart that came out yesterday. Kenzie was number one in the punt return. I think that probably had more to do with seniority than anything else. Somebody's going to have to return punts, and whether it's Jaquan Jackson, whether it's Mason Kenzie, whether it's Eric Gehrer, or whether it's Kyaris Jackson, one of the 50 to 53 guys on the roster, those last four in, are probably going to be the guy who returns punts week one. But the other three will probably be on the practice squad, and if one of them struggles, the other one will get shuttled up. So I'm not putting too much, because I don't think there's a much separation between those guys as we want there to be.
Talking to Nick Suss, Titans beat writer extraordinaire from the Tennessean. So, Nick, do you feel any better about right tackle for this team after 2 days of watching Nicholas Petit-Frere play right tackle?
I didn't think I would, but I think I do. He has looked better. He has looked more comfortable. He has looked secure in the job, and I don't think there is much of a competition based on what we're seeing in practice. I mean, I want to see them in the games. I want to see them function through the offense, but Petit-Frere has looked better than his cohorts at right tackle. I feel a little more comfortable about it. I don't know necessarily if he's going to have made as big of a jump from year two to year three as you would want because of so much of the missed time, but he definitely does look like the more competent option right now.
Nick, what have you made of the camp that Will Levis has had to this point?
I don't know. I want to know. I really do want to know, but it has been kind of what Will Levis is book-wise. I've been joking when 7-on-7 footballs in the Olympics, he's a guy who needs to be on Team USA. Like, he looks he looks so good in 7-on-7, and that's not a dig. Like, it is really good when a quarterback can put balls in tight windows against single coverage and read the defense the way he has, and he looks great there. And I thought he looked really good in one of the red zone periods yesterday, and obviously the deep ball looks good, and I've been really impressed by the way that he's been willing to take the checkdowns and willing to throw the ball away when necessary, and all of those guideposts and checkpoints to improving in year two seem there. But then I look at it and I say, yeah, a lot of this is happening against a team that is missing its top two cornerbacks, and I haven't been able to really get a gauge of what he'll look like against a live rush because so much of it gets blown dead before it comes to him. And those were some of the things that we needed to see last year, of how has he improved against pressure and how has he improved against the top defenses. And I don't know if we're going to see a judgment of that except for maybe a couple of series in the preseason here and there. And I don't know, let's say Seattle next week comes out and has a lot of fun one versus one reps. Maybe we'll see it there because Seattle's got a great secondary and that should be a good test. But for now, I really don't know other than, yeah, it looks fine.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to know the number of passes that were thrown in team that would have been sacks in real life. You know, like there's been a few of those for sure. It is. I'm with you. I think that's a great assessment of the whole thing. As far as the defense, Nick. So, I think this is the most talented Titan secondary ever. I think this is one of the most talented secondaries in the NFL if they're all present and accounted for. It's certainly health issues are in quite a few spots. And then I'm watching Tavondre Sweat, and I don't know what the snap count situation will be with him in real games, but my goodness, he looks like a wrecker. And then there's some other questions about this defense, but I also think Murray looks good. I guess big picture, with everything they've done, do you feel better about what they can be defensively than you did, you know, like when camp started even?
I do, but then I was also, I'll get geeky for a second. I was looking at this yesterday. In the last 15 years, there are 92 teams that have improved their pass defense by 400 yards year over year, which is about 25 yards a game. Those 92 teams have improved their wins year over year by a median of zero.
Wow.
Like, there are, I think, 20 teams that have improved by 800, improved by a median wins of 0.5. Like, improving your secondary is undoubtedly good. And I am really impressed by the ways the Titans have gone about modernizing and improving and making the secondary more aggressive and all this stuff. I am just interested to see, is this going to correlate to anything? The defense is going to be better there. And on the interior, like you're saying, Sweat, I don't know how a team will stop him with a single block. So if the option for the entire season is either single block Sweat or single block Simmons, the Titans have a huge matchup advantage, and that's awesome, and I feel great about that. But I still look up and down this defense and think, it's better in places, it's worse in places. Is the overall result going to be more wins? I'm still not 100% convinced.
Nick, continuing the theme on the defensive front there, what have you seen from Kenneth Murray? A lot of conversation around him in this camp and the camp that he's had to this point. You know, obviously things did not work out for him with the Chargers, but has your opinion on what he could be for this team changed based on what you've seen from him to this point?
Yeah, I think it has. I've been really impressed by how instinctive he is, how we always knew he was athletic, but how he uses that athleticism to get to the ball quickly. I think that him and Gibbons actually make a pretty intriguing tandem because of the way their strengths play off of each other. I think they're in the last, what is it, four practices since pads came on, I think I count five tackles for loss between the two of them on outside run plays. So it's one thing to just jet up the middle, get a straight line tackle, but these guys have been pursuing, scraping across blockers, making their way to the edge and getting there. And I think that's really impressive to blow up screen passes, to bring blow up toss sweeps. That's something that you want out of your middle linebackers, and that's just one step. It's just one criteria. I still want to see him continue to grow in coverage. But if the plan is you feel good about your first seven DBs right now and Murray is there to be an extra run stopper in the middle, I don't hate that plan.
So Arden Key, We still have don't have the, unless I missed something this morning, the official word from the NFL.
Right.
But, you know, it's essentially confirmed, even though he doesn't want to talk about it either. He's gonna right now, looking at six games. He's still getting the reps, which is interesting. Like, we think about Petit Frere last year, and he basically was like, yeah, just go, you know, keep yourself in shape. And, you know, you got to work on, like, who's going to be playing in these first few games. But he is still getting these key reps. Do you think that's going to change? Do you think that's because they just need to give the best possible look to this offensive line right now in these team sessions?
I like that theory. That's probably a good theory. It's a matter of numbers, too, at that position. The Titans aren't particularly deep there. And I look at who's been getting the second-team reps this week. It's Shane Ray, who hasn't played a NFL snap in 6 years. And it's been a lot of Jalen Harrell, who was, the fifth-to-last pick in the draft. I mean, you have Rashad Weaver, and I think Rashad Weaver is going to play a lot. But if you're bumping Key down to third team, number one, that completely wrecks all functionality for the third team offense.
Yeah, I
don't necessarily know if that's a fair one-to-one comparison to Petit Frere with the threes last year. But also, you want to give that number one defense a good look to see how it functions. And I don't know if Ray's there yet. I don't know if Harrell's there yet. And Weaver could be there. But again, that's just a matter of preference with the coaches if you're swabbling between ones and twos.
Well, Nick, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we will talk to you soon.
Yeah, happy to help y'all.
Absolutely. Nick Suss from the Tennessean, our guest here on Robbie and Rexroad. We'll take your thoughts on what Nick had to say. A couple of interesting things that he hit on with Will Levis there that I want to get to coming up next as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.